Welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. That is Joey Coldcuts over there. I am the big ticket here. No, we don't have Fat Perez today. No, we don't have the Jet today, but it's a big fucking episode regardless. We're talking Super Bowl. We're going to talk LeBron. We're going to talk Genesis Open. We got a lot coming up today. But I'd like to throw it over to you, Joseph. How are you feeling today? How you doing?
I mean, I feel great. I feel good. I don't know how you're feeling. You look like you're
smiling ear to ear because you laid money down on, you laid wood on this fucking Chiefs, didn't you?
No, I didn't make a bet.
Oh, okay.
By the way, you're looking at a man who's placed one wager in the last month.
Hey, let's give it up for Joey D.
That's impressive. Now, I will say I needed one more Harrison Butker field goal to go 6 for 6 on my prize picks that I had the promo money on.
Yeah.
It would have paid me $3K.
You don't need to talk numbers here, but it would have paid Joey D a lot of money.
Oh, so sweet. And instead, this idiot had to hit the upright.
The missed field goal, like if he had hit that one, it was like a 40-yarder, right? If he hit that, you would have cashed in. Oh, what a dickhead.
I hit everything else.
What a dick.
So I was actually like the last play when they threw the penalty, I was furious because I wanted the Eagles to come back and tie the game and send it to overtime so I'd get another chance at a field goal from the Chiefs.
It's always that one fucking guy. Because, like, so we had an awesome prize picks in Scottsdale. It was me, Bob, and Joe. We were watching who were we watching? We were watching the Bucks versus
– The Mavs.
The Mavs. And we had a five-team prize picks in, and all of them hit minus one guy. He had
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Tim Hardaway Jr. It was Terrence.
It was Terrence Mann. Sorry, I'm thinking Terrence about another Mann. One. It was the Clippers.
And the Bucks.
And we had Terrence Mann, this piece of work. We had the under 5.5 points, I think we had.
Yeah.
I hit a three, so we went to 6 points. But then literally hit the three at the end of the third quarter and didn't play another minute.
Hey, he didn't play a single. He made that basket.
Yeah.
He made that basket.
I got to say, I haven't done many prize picks lately, but the last couple times, I've been flirting with 6 for 6. I got to keep firing him in.
So he made the basket to fuck us and then didn't see a single minute after that.
Yeah.
Didn't see a single fucking minute.
Sayonara, fuckers.
But it was a 4 out of 5, still made money. But it was just that's how it goes, though. It's like you get
it's all in the game script. But yeah, going back to the game, I mean, I gotta say, you know, being objective, I was definitely rooting for your Eagles. I wanted you to win. I know what it's like to lose Super Bowl. It sucks. I had to watch John Elway fucking helicopter his way into the end zone and beat the Packers in 98, and they still have freaking PTSD from it, but the bottom line is it was from an objective standpoint, I have to say, I think it was one of the best Super Bowls I've watched in a long time. It was back and forth.
It had
everything you wanted in a good game aside from your Eagles finishing off with the dub. And to be honest, Ticket, I think the Eagles dominated the first half so much. They should have been up by almost 2 scores. I think it was their game to lose.
Well, do I have to? If I take the floor, I'm going to have it for a while.
I kind of want to know. I mean, you should have the floor.
If I take the floor, it's going to be about 10 minutes of me just talking.
This is your floor. This is
all right. So I'll start with this. I'll start with this objectively because I think I look fucking tired. I was up till 2:30 in the morning, so apologize. I'm fucking exhausted. But objectively, I standing back, it was a great show. It was one of the best Super Bowls in a long time. It really was. It was a great game, and Rihanna came out and fucking killed it. Like, it was one of the better halftime shows in a long time. It was just they put on a great production. It was fantastic. And the only thing keeping it from being one of the, you know, all-time Super Bowls was the fact that the ending happened that way, that they just ran out the clock and a team didn't get the opportunity to kind of redeem themselves. But such as football. Now, turning on my Eagles fan side of things, we were the better team. We were the better team. And it sucks because I know that that's what sports is. The better team does not always win. That's what makes sports beautiful. I get that. And if you want to ask me objectively, 2017, when we played the Patriots and we won with Nick Foles, 9 times out of 10, we lose that game, but we won that game when it mattered on that day. And we weren't the better team. And I get that. And I remember feeling how special that was. And now the Eagles are rarely the better team, but walking into this Super Bowl, watching the way the first half unfolded, we were the better team. We were more prepared. We had better player. We were the better team from head to toe. But, you know, they got a coach like Andy Reid. They got a guy like Patrick Mahomes who, and I've had to swallow a lot of crow, and it's taken me a lot to get to this point here. We're on Tuesday now. They made the adjustments in the second half. Andy Reid went out there and said, okay, this isn't working. This isn't working. Let's try this, this, and this. Let's stop going to Kelce so much. Let's stop trying to force the ball to Juju. Let's stop trying to throw it all around the field. Let's get these gadget guys involved. Let's get McKinnon involved. Let's give the ball to Pacheco. Pacheco's hot. Let's give the ball to Pacheco more. And let's throw little dump passes to Kadarius Toney. And it totally threw off the Eagles' defense. Like, we didn't make any adjustments because we thought they were going to come out and still stick to their same kind of offense. And they totally changed it up, and they totally fooled us. We didn't get a single sack. Both teams didn't really get a sack. Both defenses played pretty poor. They got credited with one sack because Jalen Hurts ran out of bounds half a yard. It's not really a sack, but they got one. So both defenses played kind of shitty. One, and I'll sum it up by saying this, and it's the only way I can swallow it as an Eagles fan, is one team, in my opinion, made zero mistakes and one team made one mistake. And the team that made zero mistakes is the team that ended up winning that game. And obviously our one big mistake was it was an awful play to begin with. It was a QB draw, which we do all the time, but it was not the right place for it. And it was a bad snap and it was terrible from the beginning. And then Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball and they took it and returned it. And we should have.
I honestly believe if you guys even get a field goal on that drive, I think that the game script is drastically different.
Yeah.
Them getting the touchdown and then they held you guys right after. Or no, I think you guys did go back and score. But the bottom line is it did change so much.
Yeah. And it's like, you go into halftime either up 2 scores or 1. Or what did we go up 10?
You're up 10. You're up 10.
We should have been up 17.
Yeah,
because
you could have easily been up 13 or more. I mean, honestly, like, you guys.
I have a theory that Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, that ankle injury, was the best thing that happened to them, because I'm not sure they would have made those adjustments at halftime to change up their offense and start dumping off to these gadget guys. I don't think they would have made that adjustment if his ankle was still doing well. I think they totally changed things up to accommodate his injury, and it threw our defense completely off. If he had remained healthy, it's almost like that tackle that fucked his ankle up is the reason we lost. You know, I'll make that argument.
You're licking your, you got to be licking your chops at the time and think, oh my God, if we get to see Chad Henne or this or that, you know, this could be a cakewalk. And it ended up turning around a fucking
year. No, but you saw, I sent in our group chat. I was like, I hope he comes back in, because I don't want anyone saying we won the Super Bowl on a technicality.
Absolutely were. And you did show class. And I'll say this on the flip side. I know you're an Eagles fan, but my God, is Patrick Mahomes not maybe one of the best to ever do? I mean, this guy just does not give up. Like, he could be – this is why I said we had that discussion a few weeks ago, and I got a little bit of heat for it for that Brock Purdy not coming back in and throwing passes. But you see a guy like Mahomes, and it's like you have to literally just drag his ass off the field for him to not play a play. Like, he wants it so bad, and he just – when he went down, I said, they're going to shoot him up with cortisone or they're going to do something. He's going to come out – and just go off. And the guy ended up throwing 3 touchdowns. And like, he even in the second half, he went for a long run. And I was like, oh my God, how is he even doing this right now? Like, the guy has the will of a warrior. It's a class act. I mean, could go down as one of the best to ever do it. I mean, on the flip side, Tick, Jalen Hurts played fucking really, really well. Like, I don't think you could ask. I mean, yeah, I know this scoop and score that happened and that sucked.
But I don't fault him for that.
The guy had 3 rushing touchdowns, a passing touchdown. He had over 300 yards passing, 2-point conversion running. I mean, the guy literally, I don't know about what more he could do.
Yeah.
You don't really hurt you guys.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders, nowhere to be seen.
Well, I'll defend Miles Sanders because we did not establish the run game with him. We established the run game, obviously, with Jalen in the first half, but we were not giving the ball. We were giving a lot more touches to Kenneth Gainwell. We had little dump passes to Gainwell. We did not establish the Miles Sanders run, but I don't have a lot of bad things to say about the offense. You know, they played exactly how they've always played. They outside. Well, okay,
yeah, but when you guys are running the ball,
I want to break down the third quarter, but I'll get there because the third quarter was a fucking mess for us. But our defense is really what, you know, we pride ourselves on offense and defense. We're not a one sided team, and the defense, I credit goes to the offensive line for the Chiefs, I guess. But Hassan Reddick did not look like the Hassan Reddick we've come to know and love. Ndamukong Suh did not do anything other than almost get thrown out of the game after a stupid penalty. We just got no traction on the defensive line, and our D-backs, which is usually our Achilles heel, was just cleaning up messes left and right. I mean, they were just cleaning up the messes that the defensive line did not take care of. And Gardner made a fucking shitload of great open field tackles that you expect a safety or a cornerback to get juked on. So credit to them. I mean, it could have got a lot messier than it did, and our defensive backs did the best they could. But let me jump to the third quarter, because I hate this about football. I see it happen to a lot of teams, and it's happened to the Eagles all year, but they've overcome it. And they didn't overcome it this game, is you establish what kind of offense you run, right? Okay, we're running with Jalen Hurts, and we're throwing it to A.J. Brown, and we're getting our best players involved, Devonta Smith. And all of a sudden, in the third quarter, we forget that A.J. Brown's on our team. We forget that Devonta Smith is on our team. And we start targeting Zach Pascal. And we start targeting Quez Watkins. And no, of course, they're integral pieces. They're great 3 and 4 guys. But the fact that we were not even going to A.J. Brown anymore and Devonta Smith, it's the same issue I had with our team when we went to the playoffs last year. We lost in the wild card round. But Devonta Smith, who was our clear best player, we did not get him the ball at all. And it didn't even look like we were trying. And that pisses me off. When you lose forgetting to get the ball in the hands of playmakers like AJ. Every time you go to AJ Brown, it's almost a catch or it is a catch. And he can run that little slant.
Here, Ticket, I hear what you're saying on that. Do you think that maybe they didn't go to him because they weren't getting open? Because I will say on the flip side, Dallas Goedert went nuts in the second half.
Yeah, he did.
He played awesome, and they didn't really target him much in the first half. So I sometimes think it's more of like, who's the open man? Like, who are we going to? Because, like, with the Chiefs, for example, the first half, they were going to Kelce early and often.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, I think the Eagles made adjustments to try to double-team him or get him covered. Right. And all of a sudden, you saw guys like Juju Smith-Schuster making catches. They had a couple throws. I mean, they had a big touchdown pass to Kadarius Toney, who they didn't really use the whole game. Jerick McKinnon. So I think it's more of like sometimes teams make adjustments – and maybe the Chiefs were just draping over Devonta and A.J. Brown, and Hurts is trying to go to the open guy. To me, maybe. I think Hurts running was the biggest thing that they could not stop him. So I do also think they did a lot of draws and a lot of running calls for Hurts, because when he gets running like that, he's so difficult to stop. But I do get it. I mean, I've had to watch, unfortunately, in the past, the Packers, who would go to, you know, Devontae Adams all season long, and the guy couldn't get stopped. And then on the playoffs, it's like he couldn't get open because there's 2-3 guys on him. So I think it's a culmination of both of those things. But I do agree, from like, as a viewer of your team, when you're not seeing your best guys at least get thrown to, it is extremely frustrating.
Well, that's what I was going to do, is I was going to throw it back to you about Devontae Adams, because in my opinion, I want to throw the – because I've never had this luxury before. You've known it for a long time. You've had great receivers. You've always had great receivers. Donald Driver, you know, Jordy Nelson. Greg Jennings, and obviously Devonta Adams. The Eagles have rarely had that courtesy. So to have A.J. Brown this year, I would almost rather throw the ball up to A.J. Brown in double coverage than I would throw it to Zach Pascal – who's maybe getting a little open. You know what I mean? Like I just would have liked to see that, because in the first half, that's what we did. We threw it up to him and we missed one, and we got a couple huge ones. And it's like AJ Brown can go up and muscle these D-backs. And I just would have liked to see one target or one downfield or one even 20-yard throw just to give him an opportunity to get him in the mix, even though he's covered.
Devonta Smith had a huge catch in the fourth quarter. Huge 45-yard pass.
It's incredible. The two of them. We have one of the best 1-2 punches and wide receivers, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, Devonta Smith is so underrated, and he is so incredible. Like, he does not get enough credit for what he does on the blocking side of the ball, for what the routes that he runs, even when the ball isn't thrown to him. I mean, he's an incredible. What I do wish for him is that he puts on like 10 pounds.
I was just going to say that. I hope he bulks up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because then he can really maybe muscle his way a little bit more. Even you saw on that big catch, he kind of got knocked. And because he's not bigger, he kind of got thrown off balance and couldn't run in for the end zone. So he got knocked out of bounds.
Right.
Whereas if he's a little bit stockier, like you see AJ Brown, he's a big boy. He's got some
big old boy.
You know what I mean? But I think that, I mean, here's the thing, Ticket. I know you guys lost. I know it sucks. I know it's awful. But there's a lot of promise to your team. As long as you keep the core pieces intact, and you got a young team, you got good pieces all around you. I mean, Goddard is a quiet one of the top 10 to 15 tight ends in the league when he's healthy and playing well. You know, AJ Brown, it's just came on this year as like an absolute stud. I mean, he's been good for years, and then Devonta Smith is a rising star. People forget it's only his second year in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this guy is going to continue to develop. And Jalen Hurts, to me, has taken the next step. He really has. He's a class act.
He is.
He does and says all the right things. He's not obnoxious in any way. And on top of that, the guy just when he's throwing the ball downfield like he did in the Super Bowl and making the throws, and then he's got that dual threat with the rush, this guy's tough. He's a tough guy to stop.
The thing I'll say about Jalen Hurts is that there's a lot of guys who have clearly had PR guys coach them to say the right things. Like they'll go out there and say exactly what Jalen does, you know, but it's clearly that they've been coached that way.
Yeah.
The thing I will say about Jalen Hurts is that I think he really believes like that is who he is. I don't think he needed to be coached. I think he's a really grounded guy who was humbled early on with what he went through with Alabama and kind of jumping around in the transfer portal. I think, and it clearly he seems to have great parents. He knows who he is. He knows exactly who he is. He's not a guy who entered the NFL, who got a lot of money, who's still trying to figure it out. He knew who he was walking into the NFL. And when he says these things in these post-game interviews, in my opinion, he really believes them. And there was even a moment, a lot of people, and Bob's included, a lot of people don't like Nick Sirianni. And I get it. He's a bit of a blowhard. It seems like he plays up for the camera sometimes. I don't totally believe that, but I see it. And there was a moment during the Super Bowl where Sirianni was getting worked up, and you even saw Jalen Hurts go over to him. It's like, calm down. It's almost like
that pass.
Yeah, it's almost like he's the coach. He's the heart of our team, you know. And I'm the first to admit that I was not a believer, and this year I became a believer. I'm not going to say I was a day one Jalen Hurts guy, but God, he's such a fun he's an easy guy to root for. Because of the guy that he is.
You guys are going to be a force for the next several years. I mean, you guys are definitely going to be there and be competing. And listen, sometimes, I mean, you saw Mahomes, his last Super Bowl, he lost. Sometimes it takes a great player to learn what it's like to lose on the big stage for them to really develop and get to that even next level, right? And here's the reason why I took the Chiefs is not because I don't think he can do it, but when you have a guy like Mahomes and you have a guy like Andy Reid, these are experienced guys.
Yep.
You made the point earlier, the adjustments that were made going into the second half were so clearly one-sided that it was like Andy Reid and Mahomes, they looked at what was happening. They said, this is what we need to do. We need to make a change. It's not working. And then it was like they flipped the whole game script, and it was like an entire different game. And that's what good coaches, that's what good quarterbacks guys who have that veteran savviness will have. So as detrimental as it is and as bad as it is to lose in the Super Bowl, I do think you'll see Jalen Hurts will take a lot from this game and from this experience. And I do think moving forward, he will be able to use that in big time moments to hopefully overcome adversity and be able to to come out on top.
The whole second half, all I was thinking was exactly what you just said, Joe, was that it was, to me, it was a team that had more talent and was a better team. But then on the other side, and this is what makes big games, was it was like they have so much experience. Andy Reid has been to 1,000 championship games. He's been to 5 or 6 Super Bowls at this point. Patrick Mahomes, this is his 3rd Super Bowl. Like, these guys, the moment's not too big for them. And I'm not saying the moment was too big for the Eagles or Jalen Hurts, but it was clear that they lacked experience. The whole pageantry of the game, it's not a normal football game. There is the national anthem, and you saw Nick Sirianni crying like a baby. And there's a longer halftime with Rihanna and stuff. And like and so many fans coming up to you saying, "Hey man, fucking love you." Like, it's a different experience. It's not a week 7 game playing the Chiefs. It's the Super Bowl. And it was so obvious to me that the Chiefs had been here before and the Eagles had not. And it was, and like you said, man, the Chiefs did all the things. They've been here and they know how to make adjustments, and they did just that. The one thing I will say to close this up, and then we can move on to something other than the Super Bowl, is that I know we've all been here. Whoever's listening, we've all got teams. We've all been gut punched before. But it happened to me on Sunday, man, when Patrick Mahomes scrambled to get them down to like the 20-yard line. It was like all the air in my body was sucked out. and it was like, because I knew that was the moment we lost the game, and I knew it. And it was like, and we've all been there. I know you with the Packers have been there. Like, we've all had that moment, but it happened to me the other day, and it was a gut punch, and I went through it, man. But
it stinks. There's no other way to say it. I will say, Ticket, for anybody listening, the Ticket was a very gracious loser, and in the way that he lost, he was very good about it. He just put, that's all you'll be hearing from me for tonight, went about his business. But there's that lies in the reason why watching the game when your team is in the big game, by like watching the game solo is sometimes the play, because when you lose and you're so invested, it sucks. But what I go back to is when you win, and both of us have been fortunate enough to watch our teams win a Super Bowl. It's so glorious that it's worth all the pain. It's worth all the heartache. It's worth everything, because when you win, and I won a decade ago, I won in 2010, 2011 season with
the Packers. 2011,
And when you win, it's just like you're on top of the world. Mm-hmm. That's why I have so much respect for day one fans who are ride and die. Like, say what you want about guys who, like Bob, who cheers for the Jets. He sticks with that team every year. And 1 year, hopefully, God willing for Bob, the Jets will win him a Super Bowl. And he will be able to look back and say, you know what? All those years of pain and angst and suffering and just turmoil, it all came to a bubble and it just burst and we just won and it's worth everything. So you got to stay strong. It's tough though, man. It's almost like I almost rather my team not make the Super Bowl than to lose. Imagine being a Bills fan when they lost, what was it, 4 in a row?
I will say, was it 4 in a row with Jim Kelly, right? Back in the late 90s.
4 back to back to back to back. I mean,
I think Steve Young got the best of him a couple of times. God. But I will say what took a little of the sting off for me is that I'm glad that it wasn't a fluke team, like someone who got hot, or they made a lot of like trade deadline, like as if the Titans got hot and they made the Super Bowl. I'm glad that, or even like the Bengals last year. Like, I'm glad we didn't. It was nice to lose to a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who when you've talked to, and Travis Kelce. Like, I love those guys. Like, they're class acts, and Andy Reid, who. He's had his own troubles, and he had certainly a lot of troubles in Philadelphia with us, but I have an immense amount of respect for him. And I think, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, I think he is the best working coach right now. I don't think there's anyone better than Andy Reid. Sure, he has a great team, and it's easy to say that, but I think what this guy does and what he's learned from a lot of the losses in Philadelphia and what he's taken to Kansas City with even a better team than he ever had in Philadelphia, I just think he's the best. And to lose to a guy who's the best, like, I have to imagine it's like losing to Joe Montana in the 70s. You know, it's like, right, we got bested by, or like Tom Brady. Like, all right, well, we fucking lost to Tom Brady. Like, it's like losing to the best makes the sting slightly less.
The other thing, too, you can rest your laurels on is the fact that you guys deserve to be there. It wasn't like you fluked out making there. So you know that in the next year or 2 years, you're going to have a team and hopefully like the nucleus of what you need to be a winning franchise to potentially get back there again. It's not like it's a one and done and everything just kind of fell into your lap. Like, you guys deserve to be there. You know,
you're
one of the best defenses in the last 30 years. You had an incredible offensive team. You know, you have a lot of good pieces, and I think that you will be back there. But all in all, overall, I know it wasn't the result you wanted. A fantastic Super Bowl.
It was. It was a great game. Outside
great
of the ending.
Halftime show by Rihanna. Yeah. Enjoyable. I think, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a much better game to watch. And overall, like, as an objective viewer, like somebody who doesn't have any stake in the game at all, that's what it's all about. That's what you want. You want an exciting back and forth, riveting, high scoring Super Bowl that goes down to the wire. I don't think you could ask for much more, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, those are the Super Bowls that, like, if it wasn't the Eagles, I want to spend with my friends. Like, that's just a great game and a great halftime show. And I went, when it's your team, you want to be alone. And as you mentioned, I was a gracious loser, but I will say I had a conversation with my dad in my car for like 2 hours after, like, what the fuck, man? You know, it was just like, we were just going back and forth about, we were breaking down the whole game, and I was a mess. My girlfriend was like, who is this guy? This is different than the guy I'm normally with. He's a mess over a football game.
That's what we do.
But that's what we do. But anyway, moving on, there's other stories to talk on.
There's a lot of other stuff to talk
about. Now tell me, I'm going to give you the choice. Do you want to go Kevin Durant or do you want to go LeBron?
I want to go both.
We can do both, but where do you want to go first?
I think we talk LeBron first.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I'm gonna give my piece. I do like LeBron James. I think he's without a doubt, one of the best guys to ever play the game. Obviously, last week he became the leading all-time NBA scorer, passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Merited, man. The guy has undoubtedly put forth like the effort for the last decade. He has dominated. He is absolutely unbelievable. But I gotta tell you, dude, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of defending this guy. I really being honest, Tick, like, I'm normally in LeBron's corner. I'm kind of getting sick and tired of, like, you see him at the Super Bowl, they zoomed in on him and he's doing like the crown, like crowning himself as the king. Like, I just honestly, man, like, I don't know, man. I think he's an unbelievable basketball player, but the more and more like I see him get involved in the media and all this stuff, it's even like, I know they should stop the game and like he deserved to like get acknowledged. But it's like they lost the game and there's this huge celebration. It's like, we knew he was going to make a bucket. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't going to score in the game. I listen, all the credit in the world, all kudos to LeBron. But, I mean, dude needs to kind of take a back seat a little bit. He is he has become even more full of himself in the last couple of years than I think he's ever been before. And it's tough because you want to root for him. When he beat the Warriors, when they were down 3-1, they came back. When he was with Cleveland, they won the championship.
Right.
I think that was as fun a time to be a fan of LeBron as back then. And now I see him now, and it's like there's all this extra baggage and shit that he brings with him. And he wants to become like this media guy up on top of being a great basketball player. And it's just not for me, man. I
agree completely with what you said. I think of LeBron a lot, and like, you can be an all of talent, but it doesn't mean you have to like the guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like LeBron whatsoever. I think he's fake as hell. I think that he's clearly trying to make his move as a mogul in some ways, both in media, both in apparel with his shoes, and he's making clothes now. I don't like LeBron whatsoever. I think that he's extremely fake, and I think he's bought into everything that everyone's ever said about him. But I'm also not going to kid myself. In my opinion, he's the most talented basketball player who's ever existed in the history of basketball.
Think he's better than Jordan?
I do. I think he, but I look at Jordan just like how we just said the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl or the best team doesn't always win the World Series. I think LeBron is the best of all time, but I think Jordan is so talented, and he's the kind of guy who's going to pick you apart, and he's going to, like, okay, maybe you score a couple on him, but then Jordan's going to make the adjustments, and so LeBron's not going to make the adjustments, and Jordan will find a way to win. Jordan will find. So I still think that Jordan is the most accomplished, most successful basketball player of all time, but just talent wise, of course, LeBron has it all, but he doesn't have the mental skills.
So I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
The first question is, if you're a GM of a team and you have the first pick overall, and LeBron James and Michael Jordan are both in the same draft class, who are you taking?
I'm taking Michael, no doubt about it.
So you're taking Michael. You think Michael's a better player?
No, I don't think he's a better player, but I think there's something to be said for a guy who plays basketball with his heart, and there's a guy who plays basketball with his muscles. And I think LeBron plays with his muscles, and I think Michael plays with his heart. And I think the guy who plays with his heart is always going to find a way to win. He's like Andy Reid. We're going to make second half adjustments. We're going to find a way. We're going to outthink this guy. We're not going to outplay him. We're going to outthink him. And I think Michael always found, no matter who he was going up against. So, yeah, like I said, the first half, LeBron might get him. But the second half, Michael's going to come out and he's going to find a way to win.
So I'd rather have
that guy.
If they played a pickup game in their prime, Michael versus LeBron, you have Michael coming out on top?
Oh, boy. That's tough because LeBron's got so much weight on him. But if they go head-to-head, I think Michael finds a way to win. I'm not even sure LeBron touches the ball if Michael gets first.
I think here's the thing is that there's multiple things to look at, and there's always this Jordan-LeBron comparison. They played in different eras. It's very hard to compare the two. So what I will say is Michael always had the benefit of playing on better teams, I think, necessarily than LeBron. Up until when LeBron played with the Heat, that team was stacked with him, Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen. I mean – but up until that point, I mean, for the majority of LeBron's career, he has played on underwhelming teams and been very successful. The flip side, Michael played during an era where you could actually play hard-nosed defense. Nowadays, it's ticky-tack foul after ticky-tack foul. Like, back then, they were hacking people. They were throwing each other to the ground. Yeah. And Michael was still doing all that while these guys were literally, like, just pounding him in the paint, like on the defensive end of the floor. So I think it's very hard to say this one's better, that one's better now.
Right.
If you ask me, I think Michael will always be, to me, like the best to ever play the game. There's this aura about him, I think, just because he's never lost in a big game. Like he did lose in playoffs. I shouldn't say he never lost in a big game, but like he is 6-0 in championship finals. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go against that. Like
if you put Michael's brain in LeBron James, that's the greatest player of all time.
It's like a supersedes anything that could ever happen.
But LeBron didn't have that. You know, he just doesn't have that. And that I'll always it's like in for any sports movie. What do we follow? The best player, or do we follow the guy who's got the most heart? And the guy who's got the most heart is always the guy that wants it, and he's going to work harder than you. And LeBron, to me, yeah, he's worked hard. There's no doubt about it. He's incredible. Like, and he's definitely worked, but he doesn't have that. Like, he's the pass the ball to Kobe instead of taking the last shot kind of guy. And that's why Kobe at that All-Star game got fucking pissed at him. Do you remember that? When Kobe was upset, like he was pissed at the end of an All-Star game, which is like kind of like a dick around fun game. And Kobe was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're the best player. Take the shot. And Michael will take that shot 100 times out of 100. And so would Kobe. And if you ask me if I would rather have Kobe if you go back to that draft, I would take Michael and Kobe both over LeBron.
Wow.
I would take Kobe as well, because I'm taking the guy who's got the heart, man. I want the guy that wants to win, not the guy that's thinking about his media company.
That's just because and he's got he's the lower Marion guy. And
he's a Philly guy. He's a Philly guy. No, I mean, I do. I love those guys who's got the dog in them. I want the guy who's got the dog in them more than I want the guy who's got the raw talent.
I think LeBron was better for that stuff when he was younger. Like when he was with the Cavs and when he was like younger, he did show a lot more heart and a lot more desire to win. I do think as he's got older, he's kind of changed his mentality. He's gotten worse in that regard for sure. But yeah. I don't think there's any.
And not even on these shitty Lakers teams, even on the Lakers team that won the bubble. Like I think he was even checking out in that moment too. Like he was not the same guy that you got with the Heat. He was not the same guy. But they, you know, but his raw talent overcomes so much of his lack of mental. Like he overcomes a lot with how talented he is, which is why give me Kobe's brain in LeBron's body, and that's the best basketball player hands down who's ever won ever. He would have 15 championships.
I think, I can't really disagree. Let's talk Durant.
All right, let's talk Durant and Kyrie. Let's kind of bundle them up together. What do you, who won, who lost?
Well, we talked Kyrie last week with Perez, and I think we did say the fact of the matter is that, listen, the Mavericks are going to be hard with that 1-2 combination with Luka and Kyrie coming out. I think the Nets overall, they do win in the sense that they were not going to get anything out of this guy. Oh. And now they kind of realize that they're at a point where they just weren't getting the job done. It wasn't going to happen. They had Harden. They got rid of him. Then they had Durant and Kyrie still. It wasn't working. So I think there's big ups to a team and a franchise when they realize, like, listen, we're not in a position here where we're probably going to feel like we can win. And on top of that, we're leveraging our future. So they've got a ton of future first round picks, which I think will benefit them greatly. Going to the Kevin Durant trade, I mean, the Suns have got to be the team to beat now. I mean, you've got Devin Booker, you've got Chris Paul, you've got Kevin Durant, and you got DeAndre Ayton. I mean, and then you have guys on the perimeter as well who can make plays. Now, they lose a big-time player. Mikal Bridges is nothing to slight at. No, that guy has great. A lot of heart.
Yeah.
But I think the Suns now have got to be the hands-on favorites. I mean, you got three guys. I mean, Chris Paul is going to be slicing and dicing with having Booker and Durant.
I know.
The only thing is, my thought process is sometimes when you have multiple top-level scores like that, it becomes a challenge in how you distribute the ball and who's going to take a majority of the shots. So it'll be interesting to see how they do work that angle. But I tell you what, once Durant gets healthy and he comes back, it's going to be a tough team to beat.
Well, I'll say that also a sleeper move by the Suns as well is that they signed Terrence Ross, who, if you remember Terrence Ross, he hasn't played in a while, but he is an extraordinary three-point shooter. It's almost like when the Heat got Ray Allen. I mean, he's not as good as Ray Allen, but it's like he is just going to be a threat out there.
Plays good defense, too.
Yeah, and he plays great defense, so that's another great pick. I'll tell you who. I'll pick a loser in this whole trade. In this whole thing between the Nets, the Mavs, and the Suns, I think the big loser is Luka Doncic. You know, we used to log on to Instagram, and like half the time it would be like Luka doing crazy shit and making crazy shit happen. We're not going to see as much as that. Like, I don't know about you. I don't know about your feed. But the last 2 days I log into Instagram, it's been Kyrie, Kyrie, Kyrie. What happened to Luka? You know?
But my point, I disagree with you in the sense that I think Luka wanted help. I don't think he enjoyed having to put up 50-plus points in a night for them to be able to have a chance to win. Like, he needs a secondary scoring. He needs guys who can help him. So, yes.
I don't think he wanted help in the way of another guy bringing the ball up the court. I think Luka wanted to bring the ball up the court.
I think Luka is a competitor. From what I see, he wants to win. And this definitely gives them a better chance to win night in, night out. So I don't think I can't imagine he's upset with that. Now, if you're looking from an individual stats perspective, yes, his stats are definitely going to go down. but he's also going to be able to have some help. And when you want to win games and make a championship run, that's what you need, because God forbid, if he goes down, he gets hurt, he's been hurt in and out, then all of a sudden you got nothing. So from the franchise's perspective, they definitely gain.
I guess what I should say is that I guess my loser is not Luka. I guess the loser is the fans, because we're going to see less special, magical, amazing plays from Luka because Kyrie's there, because Kyrie's going to help him, and they're going to be in closer games, and we're just going to be seeing less of Luka just doing amazing.
It's a selfish approach.
Yeah. Not speaking from the franchise's point of view, I still do. I think they would have been benefited from getting a small forward or a power forward, but they got Kyrie, and we'll see what happens. Last thing before we get to some viewer questions is Aaron Rodgers. Do you want to touch on this? This retreat that he's been going on. I mean, is this guy just checked out? I mean, if I was you, I don't even want him to play next year. Like, I want him out.
I want him to move teams.
Yeah, I would too.
I still love him. He's still one. I got a picture of him on my freaking mantle on my TV living room. Like, yeah. I love this guy, and I'm not going to not. That's not going to change. But the bottom line is the fact of the matter that is we have a guy in Jordan Love that we invested heavily in, and we really yet to be able to give him a position or opportunity to prove himself and to show what he's capable of.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, I think it's time to move on. Plus, I don't think we're in a position now where we're ready to make a championship run. I think we have a lot of rebuilding to do. There's a lot of question marks. We got a guy in Christian Watson who looks like he's going to be a promising upcoming receiver. Romeo Doubs as well. We got good running backs and Aaron Jones, who's locked up for a while. And then we got, you know, Quadzilla in A.J. Dillon. We got some good pieces. But I think it's time to kind of lower the expectations. This is not going to – it might be a playoff team. It's not going to be a Super Bowl caliber team. But give this guy a chance to showcase what he's worth. And then maybe give the Packers an opportunity to build around him. Or we see this guy definitely doesn't have what it takes, and we can start looking at getting another quarterback in the draft.
Right.
But as long as Aaron stays around, I don't think Aaron is at the point with this team right now where we can win. I think he can go somewhere else to a better team that's better set up for success and be a factor and help them win, kind of like when Peyton won a Super Bowl with the Broncos right before he retired.
Yeah,
I think he's at that point, but I don't think he's at the point where he was 4 or 5 years, 6 years ago, where he was able to take this team on his back and do it year in, year out. It's just too much wear and tear. So yeah. I just think for the benefit of the organization, and honestly for Aaron, I'd love to see him win another Super Bowl and to be content, you know, honestly, like thought of as one of the best to ever do it. Until he wins that second Super Bowl, he's always going to have that as a knock.
Yeah.
Against him. So I think for all parties included, I think it's the best thing if he leaves, but I don't know, man.
He's the kind of guy that, like, in his early years, he reminded me a lot of Michael Jordan. He reminded me, like, this guy wants to win and he doesn't think about doing anything other than winning. And then, I don't know, as he turned 30, 31, 32, 33, it seemed like he evolved and focused more of his life on, like, how can I just make my life the best it can be, which you can't fault him for that. I mean, people evolve and people change, and I think I'm happy for him as a person. I like him, but he just doesn't have that dog anymore. And you know, his life might get better, but his sports career is only going downhill, in my opinion. It's not because of lack of talent. It's just because I think where his mindset is. I think he just doesn't care about things the way his whole life used to be football. And now I think he's got, you know, part of his life is football. Part of his life is bettering himself. And yeah, I just think that's detrimental as a quarterback, but it's good as a person. So
bottom line, though, he's still better than over half the quarterbacks in the league. Probably.
Oh yeah. If you put him on the Titans tomorrow, the Titans are, I would pick them to go to the AFC championship game.
I think if you put him on a lot of teams, I think,
yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think like, there's guys like, okay, I would rather have a young guy like Justin Herbert over him, but I wouldn't necessarily want to have a guy like Russell Wilson over him. There's a lot of teams where
if he goes to the Miami Dolphins tomorrow, I'm picking them to win it all.
I would definitely take him over Tua.
Yeah, dude, him with Tyreek Hill. Could you imagine?
And Jalen Waddle.
And Jalen Waddle. Oh my God.
Even put him on the even like people are saying with the Raiders. I mean, you give him Davante Adams.
Could you imagine a swap? Derek Carr comes to Green Bay, and I think that would be a win-win for both.
I want Jordan Love. Is what I
you do. Wow, you used to fucking hate this.
I still hate the guy because he ruined the franchise. But I think I do think I think it's time to give him an opportunity. I don't think it's fair for the kid to say I hate this kid. He stinks, but he's never had a chance to prove himself. I don't think that's fair. I got to be honest. Like it's You know.
All right. Well, let's move on to some of these viewer questions.
One last thing, Tick. Are you planning on going to Riv for the Genesis Open this week? You know Tiger Woods playing in it.
If I got a ticket, I'm going.
I think Nicole and I are going to go on Friday.
There's been a lot of talk about in the squad chat about Jet and Bob and I going, but I haven't heard anything about me getting a ticket. But if a ticket shows up, I will go.
A ticket for the ticket?
A ticket for the ticket.
Have you ever seen him play live?
I've never seen Tiger. That's the only reason I would go. If Tiger was not playing, I would not go. I have no time for
it. It's going to be packed. Isn't it crazy knowing that one guy just say announcing he's going to be playing will literally change like the direction of how an entire tournament will look in terms of sales, how many people come, how many tickets go, how much the tickets are going for. Like this guy.
Hey, you want to talk about a guy who moves the needle?
Oh, this guy is the needle. Tiger is the needle, man.
Did you see him throw that shade on the waste management? He was like, can't wait to play in a real tournament next week. Did you see him say that on Twitter? Yeah, you saw that. Yeah. How'd you feel about that?
I mean, this guy can kind of say or do whatever he wants. He's got some swag, man.
I didn't go to the waste management. It just looks like a fucking shit show. It looked like parties I used to go to in college.
We went on Thursday.
Yeah.
I was so exhausted. We had tickets to go Friday. We didn't go. I couldn't do 2 days in a row.
Perez went, though.
Perez got back last night. He was there. We all left on
Perez Saturday is a monster.
Perez stayed in that house for 2 days by himself and continued partying. I don't know.
This guy is unreal. He's
I've never seen anything like it. I told Nicole today, the guy literally is unable to say no to anyone or anything if it involves going out and having fun.
So to the listeners, we flew out February 2nd to Arizona to film a bunch of Bob Does Sports stuff. And then on the 8th, we had the Breezy Invitational, which it's a party in and of itself. It's exhausting. It's hot. It's a huge fucking thing. It's exhausting. The next day, Perez goes to the waste management with everybody. And then everyone else is sort of figuring out like, okay, I think it's time to head home. Perez rebooked the Airbnb that we were all staying at. He rebooked it just for, so there was like five or six or seven of us. He rebooked it just for himself. So he stayed in a 5-bedroom home
by himself
to stay the next
day. Did you see he was partying with Johnny Manziel the next day?
This guy is unbelievable.
He was at
man.
Christian Kirk's Super Bowl party and going to Max Homa's. Like,
and every morning he wakes up so hungover. It's, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. And then you look at him at 1 p.m. and he's out partying with Johnny Manziel.
Perez's life has got to be like an episode of Groundhog Day where it's just like the same shit happens every day. He wakes up just regretting the decisions he's made the day before only to go ahead and make those same decisions the next day.
God bless him, though. He's one of a kind. He's the best.
He really is.
All right, Joey D, let's get into some of these viewer questions. And just a reminder to everyone out there, if you subscribe and if you follow the Instagram, that is how you get a question in. Mr. Anderson is very diligent in what he does, and he's vetting all these. And we thank him for sort of compiling these. So we have three questions today. The first one is coming from at EthanWatterson9136. Who do we got winning the Genesis Invitational, boys? Joey D, I'll head it to you.
Well, I think, honestly, I do think that you can expect a really good outing from Max Homa. I think playing in his in his state of California, the guy just wins. He won the Farmers. He had a little bit of a letdown this last tournament at the Waste Management. He's won before. I think he won last year at the Genesis Invitational. So he knows his course well. I think he has what it takes to be successful. So I think you're going to see him make a big push. The other guy that I like to come out and have a good tournament this week is Colin Morikawa. I think he's a good, solid.
That's where I was going.
So I would like to put those two guys up. I mean, here's the thing. With the golf, man, it's so up in the air that anyone can win at any given moment. Another guy that I think you put on your radar, just because he's been golfing so well, and he's won two tournaments already, and he's been in every tournament he's played in, is Jon Rahm. I think this guy is playing about as good as you could possibly play right now. Yeah. So if I had to lay some cheddar on a few guys, I'd probably go with those three. I'd probably go Homa, Morikawa, and Rahm. I think that's a solid way to go about it. But
I was gonna go Colin for sure, number one, and I was also gonna go Max. I wish I had different picks, but here's why I'm picking them: is they're both LA guys, and this is in LA, and it means more. Regardless of what the levity of the tournament is, I think these guys want to win in like where they're home from. So if you're from Nashville and you know we got a golf tournament there in Nashville, I think whoever's from Nashville is like, you got to pay attention to him. But Max loves LA. Like he you even saw it on 16 at Waste Management. He was wearing a Dodgers hat. He wants to win the Genesis so bad. Paired with him and Jon Rahm are playing the best golf around. I mean, they're just playing the best. They're just hot as hell, and everything's dialed. I mean, it's not like the driver's making up for bad irons or putting's making up for bad driving. It's like they have all phases of the game working for them right now. And if I had to pick one guy, I would pick Colin Morikawa. I'm going to pick Colin Morikawa.
Wow.
Another guy to watch out for is Keegan. Keegan's playing really good golf, too. Keegan, and it's not just because he's a friend of the show. He's just really playing great golf right now.
I think a good bet is anytime you could put Keegan top 10 finish. He's been right up. I mean, he's been right up there. He's looked really good. And he's leaned out. He's playing inspired golf. He's having fun. He looks like a reinvented guy. I love a top 10 finish for him.
He does. The thing about Keegan is like, he's making me feel like, did he always have this much talent? And he was like, maybe focused on other things like hanging out with Jordan or starting other businesses, like having a restaurant and stuff like that. Like if he had just focused on golf 100% all the time, like this guy could have been one of the best because he has found himself. He is. He's incredible. And it's like he's tapped into something in this last year that is like reminded everybody how good Keegan Bradley is. And it's like, where did this guy go for the last 5 years? You know what I mean? It's he's like you said, I think the word inspired is the best.
I'll tell you where he did go this past year. He went on Bob Does Sports.
He went on Bob Does Sports. Go check out that episode. That's a good one. You can watch Joey D launch one into the clubhouse and Keegan yell four. It's a good one.
I think that was maybe the worst round I've played in a long time. I was hacking it up.
You texted the group, and I saw you in person numerous times leading up to that episode coming out, and you were like, I'm going to take a vacation to Tahiti during that week. Yeah, you were terrified because of how bad you played. But that's the thing about Bob Does Sports is there's a new episode every Thursday, folks, and Joey D and the boys have an opportunity to redeem themselves. And let me tell you something, they do.
By the way, did you see on the at the Waste Management on the commentator mentioning that he thought the Bob Does Sports episode with Keegan was hilarious?
Yes, I did.
How cool is that tick?
Shit's getting real, man. I don't want to go into Bob
Does Sports too much. What are your thoughts on this? Because you were a part of this like later on, but like you now become an integral part of this operation. Like it's got to be cool for you, no?
I signed a hat at Breezy. I signed a hat.
Did you sign a ticket or did you go Neil Arnett?
I went Neil Arnett. And now, and then I passed the hat to the Jet and Jet signed it as Jet. And I was like,
that's when I realized
I got to start signing this shit as ticket. The first
couple autographs I was signing Joseph DeMar and I'm like, nobody knows who the hell that is.
Yeah, I know.
So now I had to change it. Not that I'm signing tons of autographs, but now I have to sign Joey Cold Cuts. Because like nobody knows who Joseph DeMar or Neil Arnett is.
I know. And now there was a video that Nikki Smigs took of Bob looking at the hat after it was all signed. And he ripped me to shreds. He's like, who is this? This is the worst signature of all fucking time. Who the fuck signed this? And Smigs was like, yeah, it was the ticket. And he was like, that is horrible. So I got to start practicing ticket on a hat. And for $30 more, I have a coach who will teach you how to sign a baseball as well. So there you go. Thank you to Ethan for that question. We're moving on to Cam Walsh. Cam Walsh's question is, Joey D, if you boys could play Augusta with you and three other guys, who you picking for your foursome? Could be anybody in the world, celeb, athletes, dead or alive.
Well, I think here's the thing. I think we got to go celebs or athletes, because if we just say our friends or something, like, it's not going to add to the show.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And forget Bob and Perez too. Like, obviously you'd love to, but just use your dream foursome.
Tiger Woods. Jim Nance.
Oh, this is good.
Honestly, Aaron Rodgers, and I think Michael Jordan.
Well, no, you're one of the foursome. You got to only pick three guys.
Oh, okay, sorry, Aaron, you're gone. How about this? Give me Jim Nance, Tiger Woods, and Michael Jordan.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's a fearsome foursome.
And I would. Part of it is Jim Nance has to commentate on every shot I make.
Oh, now you're asking a lot of Jim. You're asking him to play and work.
Could you imagine you hit a hole in one, and Jim Nance is commentating it?
Dude, you know what's so funny is that. So we've been getting the Jet more involved in Bob to Sports videos. My favorite thing is when we walk up to a par three, when the Jet is playing, he's got this look in his eye. Like, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the first hole in one on Bob to Sports. And I'm praying.
Honestly, I'd love nothing more.
I think it would be only fitting if the Jet ends up hitting the first.
Well, you know, what would be better?
No, not me. No, it would be the Jet. The Jet would be the best story
I tell you what, when you made that celeb shot, we did the Christmas episode.
Yeah, the Christmas episode.
So for those of you who've not watched it, we did a Christmas episode where we got one of the holes. We had a rule where, you know, our guys who normally would film were playing, and the guys who normally play had to film. So Ticket, first shot ever on Bob Does Sports. I'll say it was the second, because you took a drive.
I took a bad drive.
That went into the bushes. Second shot ever on camera. Ticket takes like a 3-wood from the middle of the fairway, and he striped the living shit out of it. And it was like one of those moments where everybody was so excited. Like, it was just, you went bananas. And it was so merited. It was so good. If you got a hole in one, it would be unbelievable. Or Jet. I would take either before any of us.
If one of us hits the hole-in-one before you guys do on the show, I mean, listen, you're going to have to find a new cameraman, because
we got riding into the sunset.
We got a whole new career on our hands. Yeah, that would be incredible.
Who's your three guys?
So my foursome, I think, you know, I don't think a lot of people know this about me, but I'm more comedy-driven. Like, I think I'd much prefer, like, and I'm going like good vibes as opposed to like who would be the coolest. Cause obviously I need Tiger in there. That's going to be so fucking cool, but I'm not picking Tiger. Cause I'm going to pick my foursome based on good vibes. I want a lot of comedy guys in there. I want, I think Jason Bateman is my number one.
Oh, wow.
I think Barack Obama is my number two. And I think, gosh, who's my number three? Who's coming? See, I want to pair these guys together. That's my thing. Is like, I want everyone to get along. Like, I think Jason Bateman and Barack Obama are having a lot of fun. And that, I'm not a Democratic guy, by the way. I think that Barack Obama seems like a fun fucking guy. Like, he used to smoke
weed. I agree with that. I agree.
So it's not, I don't want people to think this is a Democratic show. And then my, you know, part of me wants to say my dad, you know. But
that's nice. I see you going with like a rock star, like
you know who my next is. You know who's gonna pair well with those guys?
Somebody from the Rolling Stones or something.
No,
Mick Jagger,
The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock, Jason Bateman, and Barack Obama.
Why The Rock?
Barack Johnson.
You know who would be a good one as well?
No, I think that those three would have so much fun together, and I would just love, like, you know, getting in a bar here and there and just, like, making them laugh. But, like, really letting those three be the star of the show. I think that would be – I am in awe of Dwayne Johnson. Not because I think his movies are good, but because this guy turned a failed football career into a wrestling career that he was the best at, into a movie career where he is the highest paid actor in the world. I'm fascinated by him, and I've seen him on Instagram. He seems hilarious.
I've met him. He seems like a really nice guy.
You met him? You met The Rock?
Yeah, he came to cut.
Oh, okay. When you saw, okay. I was going to say, was he nice? He seemed like a nice guy.
Super nice. You know who else would be good? And I'm looking back at it, would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Good old Frankie Sinatra.
If he was if we're doing Dead or Alive. Oh, okay. So then that's a whole nother pairing. You want to get Sammy Bones in there. You want to get Frank Sinatra. You want to get, Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is when people ask about your perfect foursome, it's like, okay, there's your dream. There is Michael Jordan. There's Tiger. But then there's also the good vibes rounds too. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why, like, I have Jim Nance in mind.
So who's your good? So that's your dream one. Who's your good vibes foursome? Like good, like if you want to have the part, like you guys are partying, you're drinking, who's that foursome?
I mean, I already saw, like, I was in a foursome with, it was a threesome on the Lake Tahoe, was Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. And that was pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, Travis Kelce brings the vibes, man. He's a little cringy, but he brings the vibes, man. You know who I think would also be great? I don't know if he golfs. I think Peyton Manning would be
he'd be fun.
A blast.
He'd be fun. Yeah. He really would.
All right. Great question, Cam. That was fun. We probably dragged it on a little too long, but that's okay. Good question. And then the last one comes from at Jacob Oppenier 2285. Question for the next pod. Ticket versus Cutsy. Who is scoring more goals in a recreational hockey game?
Well, I didn't play. I never played forward. I was a goalie my whole life.
And I can't skate.
I'm going me still.
I'm going to go with Cutsy just because I can't skate. I can't ice skate. I can skate. I'll wreck up a roller derby, but I can't skate on ice. Or I haven't had much practice really. So I'll take Cutsy in that. He'll just be rolling up in his entire goalie pad.
That being said, I might only score one or two goals in the whole game, even if I'm getting the puck the whole game.
Dude, do you know how many DMs I got from kicking coaches after my appearance on the Bob the Sports podcast?
We still have to do it.
You know what infuriates me? And I think Bob thinks so little of my athletic prowess. It's so – because, like, so we had another conversation about – like, it was me and Perez and Jet. We were hanging out, and Bob was there. And it was like – I told Bob, I was like, who do you think is going to hit – like, if you give everyone 10 shots, who's hitting the most three-point shots? And Bob was like, oh, me, clearly. And it just sparked this huge debate. Bob gave me two out of 10, which is ridiculous because I'm a three-point assassin. It's ridiculous. I'm Kyle Korver.
Is this from NBA regulation?
Yeah, NBA regulation. Yeah.
I see. I think you'd make at least three.
Yeah, I'm a great three-point shooter. I don't understand. I'll say the same thing about the three-point contest as I will with field goal. Is there's no defense running at me. Yeah, if Terrence Ross is in my face, I'm going to hit 0 out of 10. But a three-point contest, no one's in my face. Like, I'm going to drain at least 3 to 4 of them. I'm a good shooter.
Four is a lot.
I can't run the rock. I don't dribble the ball
well. But here's the thing. But 40% from three-point line is amazing.
Yeah, but there's no defense, Joseph. I just clarified that Terrence Ross is not in my face. You know, Dwayne Wade is not throwing a hand up. You know, it's still me on my own.
Far outshot.
But the fact that Bob thinks he's hitting four, no problem.
What did Bob say he would hit? Tell me what he said.
He said four. He said, I'm getting four for sure.
That's a lot.
Bob thinks a lot of himself, and he thinks very little of me. You know who I honestly think would win that contest? I think it would come down to, I think me and Bob would both get three. I think Fat Perez, he's a bigger guy, but he is one of those, he's like Kevin James from the King of Queens. He's very athletic. He is a very athletic, bigger guy. I think Perez can drain 4 to 5. And I also think the Jet is being slept on too. The Jet's got some moves, man. He plays in a softball league. This guy can hit, man. He's an athletic guy.
Take it. It's not easy to hit 3-point shots from NBA regulation. Like if you go to like the local YMCA gym and 3-point range there, it's not the same as an actual official 3-point range from the end. That is a far out shot.
Well, I don't want to go to Staples Center and shoot these shots. I want to go to the local Y.
We can do it from the local. I'm just saying, I do think it makes a difference because you're shooting a further shot.
But the fact that I can't hit a 40-yard field goal, I'll make 2 out of 10 3-point shots. Like, I am getting disrespected left and right from the
Bob. Well, then we need to make a series.
It's ridiculous.
Ticket versus the world.
Joe's versus the pros. Let's bring that back. Joe's versus the pros.
We do need to see you hit a field goal. Whether you make it or not, we do need – the world is owed that pleasure of watching you attempt a field goal from 40 yards.
Last question before we log off. How many 3-point shots are you making? Are you in that conversation?
Am I just going in cold or I'm warming up before?
No, you're going – we're all going in cold.
I'd be happy to make 2.
I'm going to be honest. No disrespect, because I know how athletic you are. I know that you're carrying a little more weight, but you are a very athletic guy. I see you being a fantastic ice hockey goalie, but I don't see you hitting one. I don't see you hitting one shot.
You just told me you can't imagine you would hit 4, and then you say I can't hit 1?
Yeah, but I have finesse. I have touch. I think the way you play the golf ball around the green says a lot about
you've never seen me shoot a basket.
I haven't, but it's just I think you don't hit one.
I say you could hit 3, and then all of a sudden I couldn't even hit 1. And by the way, it's not like I said I would hit a lot. I said I
yeah, you did 2. Yeah, 2. I mean, 2 is wow. I'll take the under on 2.
Body bag. I gave you a compliment. I got absolutely buried.
Well, I got body bagged on my own show last week when you said I'll give ticket 112 and Perez says I'll take the over.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to a gym one of these days and we'll film 10 shots from the 3-point range. You pick your are you doing like around the world or are you just doing it from one spot?
Yeah, I thought about that, but that's a lot of shots. I think we should all just take 10 shots from the top of the key there.
Like top, the very top, past the free throw line at the top of the 3-point range.
Yep, we all get 10.
I'm down to do this.
I think we should do a Bob Does Sports Field Day Challenge where we go out there, we all kick field goals, we all take 3-point shots, we all take hockey shots at you, at goalie. I think that would be a phenomenal episode.
We put wagers on who comes out victorious.
Yeah, and it could work in with one of our sponsors. That's just one of my ideas. Anyway, that is another episode of The Sportsman. It's probably our longest one yet. I don't know how long last week's was, but that was a good one, Joey D.
Yeah, we had a lot to unpack. I mean, we missed you last week. We got you for a little snippet. Arguably our best episode we've ever done without you on it, so I don't know.
It's true. It's so true. One of our most successful 3,000
views last time I checked, and we had 400 on all the other.
What's not working with The Sportsman? Well, looks like when Ticket's not on the show, we get thousands. We
actually like to announce our new co-host and moving on from Ticket is the Fat Perez.
Fat Perez coming on Sportsman. Oh man,
Nathan, you will always be a sportsman, and we love you dearly. So
well, it's our show. Of course I will. But I do agree. I love when we get guys like Fat Prez on, and I thank him for coming on when I was busy doing Bob the sports stuff. And I try to get the Jet on this episode too, but he's
we got
to
get Bear down.
He's busy doing shit. And yeah, hopefully we can get Bear down. I was talking to him last night. Hopefully we can get Bear down on next week. But anyway, that's another edition of The Sportsman. That's Joey D over there. It's big ticket right here. Hopefully Fat Perez and the Jet next week.
And
maybe Bear down. Yeah. And
don't forget to file in your questions for the future episode. If you want to ask us something,
right,
something that's on your mind, could be about me, could be about a ticket, could be about both of us. We want to hear what you have to say. We want you to be involved in the show. Please comment, please subscribe, please like our videos, please join the movement. 400 faithful. By the way, we got over 600 subscribers now, ticket. Stonks.
Yes. Joey D learned about stonks recently, and now that's all he says. Yes, but that's right. We will only take submissions from people who subscribe to the Instagram and subscribe to the YouTube. And we thank you for your support. Great questions today from the guys. And we are The Sportsman. We'll see you next week, folks.